This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not married to sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not married to sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Mr. President.
Senator from Kentucky.
Preserving the right to object, it has long been my feeling that we need to address our massive debt in this country. We have $22 trillion debt. We're adding debt at about $1 trillion a year. And therefore, any new spending that we are approaching, any new program that's going to have the longevity of 70, 80 years, should be offset by cutting spending that's less valuable. Need to at the very least have this debate. I will be offering up an amendment if this bill should come to the floor, but until then, I will object.
So Rand Paul being Rand Paul, there's nothing more Rand Paul than what he just did here.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said yesterday, too.
This is another reason why I'm crabby today. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show, folks. Happy Thursday. You know what else makes me kind of frustrated? I have this cracker with this cheese and this pepperoni or whatever, mm-hmm. and I took one bite out of it. But I can't eat it while I'm on the air.
Yep.
But if I set it down, it's going to fall apart.
So I've got to hold it up the whole segment.
So if you're watching on the webcam right now, you will see this cheese cracker and a piece of meat.
It's what from our adult Lunchables.
Adult Lunchables?
Our adult Lunchable.
Hot something.
Sausage. They're so good.
Yeah. Small plates. But I can't put it down because it'll fall apart. And then I will lose part of the sustenance of the cracker that is... on the inside.
Essential.
Of it. So for the next 10 minutes, I am going to hold this and think about eating it, but I'm not going to eat it because if you watched the Know Your Coworker video about Annie Fry, you know mouth noises make me think very evil thoughts.
And really, I'm already in a mood today, so don't push it.
Tony, you were surprised by that answer in that video? I mean, you seem genuinely like amused.
Hmm. What? You don't like mouth noises.
It's the worst.
Yeah. No, I knew that.
I knew that.
You see my cracker and cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Can't do anything with it.
I love that she calls them adult.
That's what they are.
Adult Lunchables.
They're adult Lunchables.
Is that what it says on the box?
It makes it less adult that you end that phrase with Lunchable.
It's true, though.
I need my adult Lunchable.
The package says small plates, which is like fancy.
There is the kid Lunchable. And right next to it are those small plates, a.k.a.
Adult
Lunchables.
I love it. That means like jumbo hot dogs or adult hot dogs? There's the kid hot dogs.
Now you're getting it.
There's the adult hot dogs.
Is this happening now?
Let's hear.
You listen in on this. I'm going to ask you, Tony. Did you hear about the Scarlett Johansson wanting to play any part story? You know what I'm talking about?
I know the story. I didn't look that deeply into it. But
listen to CBS.
Actress Scarlett Johansson says she supports diversity in Hollywood. That's after some people accused her of making controversial casting comments. In a recent interview for As If magazine, Johansson said actors should be allowed to play any person or any tree or any animal.
So according to As If magazine,
she could never play Groot. I'm just saying she could never play Groot.
Good point. But her point here is that as an actress, she should not be limited to play roles that are just specifically like her. I can think of a lot of of roles, you know, like, okay, Hairspray is the first one that comes to mind. John Travolta playing that lead character. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
But is that different? Because historically, like, on, was that a play before it was a movie?
It was, yeah, it was a musical on Broadway.
So, like, it's always played by a man.
Mm-hmm.
Is that wrong? Like, I get confused as to what is okay and what is not okay.
Just because the rules don't match.
It's hard.
They're not consistent.
It's like the English language. There's nothing is always.
There's no consistency. There's no truth to any of it. What she is saying, and she's right, that used to be, that's what sets good actors and actresses apart from the rest, that's what makes them good actresses, is they're able to embrace any character that's not them and portray that character in a believable sense. That's the skill of what actors and actresses are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to what Whoopi Goldberg said here on The View.
Scarlett clarified that she understands how much the industry favors white actors. Thanks. But in a perfect world, any actor should be able to play anybody. Well, in a perfect world, none of this would be happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a perfect world,
you'd be playing an
Asian. Listen, an Asian man would have played Charlie Chan.
That's true.
Yeah.
Those days were bad.
Well, you know, Mickey Rooney would not have played an Asian man. And the reason he played an Asian man is because they didn't give roles to Asian people.
Yeah.
That's why in the early part of our history, white people were dressed in blackface, something I know a little something about. And I understand why people were in it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The reason we don't do it anymore is because we don't have to. Black people exist, Asian people exist, white people exist, transgender people exist. And before you throw out any of the folks who are playing transgender people now, let me point out that this is a new branch of acting.
Yes.
It's a new branch of acting. We didn't have transgender actors 25 years ago that we were aware of. We did not know.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, Jeffrey Tambor took on and played an amazing part in
transgender.
Transparent.
Sorry.
But now there are transgender actors, and they want to play the parts that they can get.
Yeah.
And, like, for everybody, we all want to be great actors, and we can all play whatever we want to play, because that's our job. That's what we're supposed to be able to do. But, you know, people who haven't had the opportunity really want to get...
They do.
They want to catch up, so...
Does she make a good point there that, you know, to talk about the days when white people played black people in plays, mm-hmm. and they put themselves in blackface, and this is why blackface is really a no-go. Don't do it. But to suggest that any person playing a part that is something that they are not, I mean, what if a redhead plays a blonde-haired blonde role, or, you know, if there's somebody, what? Okay. Let's talk about The Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
The controversy that wasn't a controversy, that was made into a controversy so we would talk about it. They are casting in the live action,
mm-hmm.
Little Mermaid,
mm-hmm.
a black girl who, from everything that I've heard, can sing the lights out. They're casting a black girl to play Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid was white. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I will go see it because I love the story. It makes me no difference. I really do kind of hope that they give her, like, up-in-your-face red hair. Mm-hmm. I think that would be sweet. But does it apply there?
Of course you don't care. Of course you don't care because it's not a controversy. However, if it would have been the other way around, if the original Little Mermaid would have been a black cartoon character, like if Princess Tiana was played in the live action by a white actress, forget about it. And people are going to say, well, yeah, but Princess Tiana is a princess and she's a human. We're talking about a fish. Look, they're all cartoon characters.
Yeah, they're all fictional.
They're all freaking cartoon characters. Nobody cares that the Little Mermaid is being cast as by a black actress in the live action. It's not, there's not this big outrage against that. However, there would be if the Little Mermaid character was a black mermaid,
I'm uncomfortable
and it was cast
even
by
thinking
a white
about the backlash of Tiana being cast as anything
well,
other than
they just did the Aladdin
black woman.
They just released the Aladdin live action, and it was basically insisted that since Aladdin is set in the Middle East, that Middle Eastern actors and actresses play all those roles, which they did. But if it would have been set in Canada and there would have been a couple of black actors or actresses cast, I don't think anybody would care.
And this has happened.
There would be no outrage. But there is outrage when it goes the other way.
Yes. And
whether you want to agree with that or not, it's the truth. It's the truth.
And if you're good at your job, then you're good at your job. That's, you're getting paid for your value, which is capitalism. If you're great at what you do, and the director saying, wow, you're a white girl or you're a black girl, and that doesn't matter to me. Your demeanor, your temperament, your voice, whatever makes you outstanding matches that character.
Okay.
There you go.
A history movie about Martin Luther King, and they cast him as a white person. That would be outrageous.
Because it would be historically inaccurate.
Well, there's a thing called Hamilton right now that's pretty popular.
Explain your point, though, because some people might not know that.
What, that all the people that star in Hamilton are African-American actors and actresses? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think most people know that. And I get it. They said, look, we're taking a different take on history. We're putting a different spin on how we're telling the story, and that's why it's all black actors and actresses. And I think it's cool. I just bought very expensive tickets to Hamilton, and my whole family I paid for them all to travel to see it. And the mm-hmm. only reason I didn't go is because somebody had to stay home with the 2-year-old. And so I am a big time supporter of Hamilton. I think it's awesome. But if you couldn't do that, you couldn't say, well, I'm going to put a different spin on the history of Martin Luther King, and I'm going to cast him with a white actor. It doesn't go both ways.
Mm-hmm. You know,
spare me the outrage on all of it.
Mm-hmm. Brad comments on our YouTube chat right now. Let's see, where did I lose it? I had it here. They deny the possibility that Scarlett may be a better actress than the trans person. Does that matter? I mean, I would say to Whoopi, if you've got a role in a movie and it's a transgendered individual that's in the movie, that's the role, is somebody who is mm-hmm. transgender, is it more important who is the best actress to play that role? Or is it more important to use the best transgendered actress to play that role? Because where do you get the best quality product? Now, if you choose to go with Scarlett Johansson, who's not transgender, if you choose to go with her, are you limiting the opportunities for a transgender actress to get a job if Scarlett gets that job? Or is the only way it's limited is if you don't let her try out and you don't let her access the audition and you don't even let that transgendered individual have the opportunity? I mean, do you want the best that is there?
If I'm the casting director, me, the way I would do it is I would try to, if we're basing this on actual characters or actual established characters that have, you know, established origins and all that stuff, then I want to, me, the way I would prefer to do it is to put the actors and actresses that line up with those characters. I want the black characters to be played by black actors and actresses. I want the Asian characters to be played by Asian actors and actresses. But that's just the way I would do it. If there's another casting director that thinks that there's a different actor out there that can play this role perfectly the way they want it, even if the skin color doesn't match on either side, then they can do that if they want to. It's just a matter of opinion on what you think is going to be the best for your film project that you are making.
And all the outrage that comes after, like, of all the things in the world that we are looking to be outraged about, like, there's no conversation. There's no human understanding. It's just Again, everything is awful. And we're back. I want to take some phone calls on this because some people are calling in here to discuss this. The question that is posed is Scarlett Johansson has said she wants to be able to play any role, any part, any plant, any animal. She wants to be able to have the opportunity to do that. And Whoopi Goldberg is pushing back a bit and saying, no, that you need, I believe she said at some point that she needs, that Scarlett Johansson needs to watch her words and think of her words more carefully, which I hate because who's Whoopi to say that to Scarlett? Like, mind your business. And if you don't like Scarlett Johansson playing a specific role in a specific movie, don't go see the movie. And you can talk about why you don't want to see it, but don't be bossing and momming around Scarlett Johansson. But Whoopi saying here that she wants to be able to, or that it, historically speaking, we have not allowed people who could play those roles access to those roles, and that needs to change now. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797, or 866-455-9797. Your calls when we return.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Actress Scarlett Johansson says she supports diversity in Hollywood. That's after some people accused her of making controversial casting comments. In a recent interview for As If magazine, Johansson said actors should be allowed to play any person or any tree or any animal.
That's the message from Scarlett Johansson saying she wants to be able to play as an actress. Anybody that is an actress, that's kind of the whole point, is to challenge yourself to be something that you're not and to stretch your abilities into the super challenging roles, which is why she would list tree in there.
She's not coming after Groot. I'm just saying.
Not gonna
I'm
happen.
Making that clear.
So we're discussing here. Whoopi Goldberg has pushed back and said that historically people of color, people of different types of lifestyles have not been able to play the roles that were cast by others that had more access to roles, and she thinks that it's irresponsible for Scarlett Johansson to say that. 314-241-9797. If you want to join the show, we've got a lot of people here holding on. Let's start with Lisa. Lisa, thanks for calling.
Hi, Annie. How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm off today, but I've got AC issues. But I wanted to touch on a point you made earlier. If we had cast white people as the slaves in Alex Haley's Roots short story, if we had cast whites as slaves in Amistad with Anthony Hopkins, there would have been an outrage because we had removed ourselves so far from the message and intent of that show that it's not believable. So when you start talking about acting as a plant or acting as an animal or whatever, I get the creative aspect, but whatever you're going to put on screen is going to be so unrelatable to real people.
I feel as though this is, I think we could be like rational about it. This is not to say that like, you know, we should always be looking to not typecast or whatever, but I think the best actress should get the role. And if that is a transgender person who's playing a non-transgender role and they're the best at it, then you give it to that person. That's the way I feel about it.
Very good point. It goes both ways. And I think the reason they did blackface back in the day was because they wanted to more accurately portray that they were acting as black people. And in retrospect, it looks very racist, but they weren't hiring black people then for those roles, or they weren't finding qualified black people for those roles.
Yeah.
So then they acted it. You could just really go both ways with this. I prefer to take the middle road and let the best actor get the position, let the best person for the job get the job.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you're saying there. Lisa, thank you for calling the show. I don't agree with the blackface thing, because the blackface thing was originated out of making a mockery of black individuals. And of course, you weren't going to have black people come on and do the kind of plays and stuff that the blackface was really a part of. So, you know, when you're thinking of Jim Crow and you're thinking of how that was portrayed, it wasn't because they couldn't find qualified black people to play roles. It was because they were mocking them. And that's why it's so shameful for people to utilize blackface. I mean, Katie, you know, this always makes me think of when we were going to Jefferson City for that inaugural ball thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you were going to bring face masks.
Yes.
Were they charcoal face masks?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will never do a charcoal face mask.
Yeah.
Because a charcoal face mask is jet black.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes your face black with what you put on it. And I'm like terrified at the prospect of that ever showing up somewhere. Like, I don't know how that would be possible, but it is such a detestable part of our American history. Mm-hmm. That I just, like, I will never, ever do a charcoal face mask.
You're going to stay as far away from that as possible.
Give me something that is not like that, and I will do it. We forgot to do them anyway. But when Whoopi Goldberg is talking about how we used to use blackface to portray black actors in plays because they wouldn't hire black people, that's not the same thing as Scarlett Johansson wanting to play a role that is outside of what she has to offer when she just simply walks in the room,
mm-hmm.
before she's applied anything of herself to a role. So I want to make that distinction there. And if I misunderstood what Lisa was saying, then I apologize for that. But I want to make sure that I'm clear that I don't consider that to be the same. If I'm defending people playing roles, I'm defending Disney's casting of this girl who they think is going to be the best person to play Ariel in the live action Little Mermaid, and she happens to be black. And Ariel was very not black in the cartoon. She was very white and she's very redheaded. And this is what Disney's elected to do. Okay, Disney, show me what you got. And right. If I watch it, I'm pretty confident I'll be watching this movie and I'll be watching and thinking about the Little Mermaid and the next thing that's going to happen in the movie and not be like, you know, Ariel's black here. Like, it's not going to be the thought that's in my mind if the actress is good. It wouldn't exactly. probably be the thought in my mind if the actress was bad. But I think that in the world that we're living in with identity politics and with constantly looking at ways, you know, Tyrus said something kind of similar to this when he was with us in the beginning of the 1 o'clock hour. And I think it's very important. He said, you know, people are going to hate you. People are going to try to hold you back. Everybody has a thing, has an experience where they are hated or somebody tries to stop them because of something about who they are as a person. Maybe it's because you're a Christian. Maybe you've been held back before because people think you love Jesus too much and they don't and you do. And they're in a position where they get to make a decision that affects your life negatively. And because they don't like the fact that you are a Jesus believer, maybe that hinders you. That doesn't mean that the world hates Christians. That doesn't mean that the next person you see is going to hate you any more or less than the person before you. And if somebody hates you because you're black, or if somebody hates you because you're white, that doesn't mean that there is a blanket group of people out there that inherently hates you for that purpose. Maybe those people are just a-holes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the people who are out there just looking for a reason to hate you, maybe they're just jerks.
Maybe they don't like their own life. So
it's
they're going
likely
to-
that they mm-hmm. don't like their own life. That's like when it goes to middle school, this whole idea that somebody has to drastically lose in order for you to win. That's what grade school girls do to one another. I say this as a product of being a grade school girl once. I know that there are times, like, I can think in my mind of my time in grade school, and I can think of times where people did some extremely hateful things to me. And I know those people today, and I don't hate them because that was a long time ago and we both grew up. But I also know that there are times I know that I was the mean girl to somebody else out there. I know that I did things to somebody else. And if I think back on those things, I'm ashamed of them, and I was like 11 when I did it. You do what you learn, and then you learn from it. Mm-hmm. And you know, it took being at the fingertips of the mean girl for me to realize I never wanted to make someone feel the way someone made me feel. So you get into the adult world and politics, and all we try to do is make sure that the other side loses. How many people voted for Hillary Clinton or voted for Donald Trump because they wanted to make sure Hillary lost?
And you were willing to take a risk on Donald Trump, this unknown political factor, because you knew you wanted Hillary Clinton to lose. I'm raising my hand. I knew that I didn't want Hillary Clinton to be nominating Supreme Court justices. I knew that I didn't want Hillary Clinton to be pushing for unfettered access to abortion the way that she had spoken on it before. I knew that I didn't want Hillary Clinton to get the opportunity to have her dream of a borderless Western Hemisphere. I didn't want that. I wanted her to lose. In politics, the people who get to, you know, construct and contrive political campaigns do everything they can to see an opportunity that exists against the other side to destroy that person. I get it in politics. It's gross in politics, but to pretend it's not there is to be blind. But when we do that in our own like day-to-day lives, that's a heavy burden to bear. To assume that everything that everybody does is out of some version of hate and you know, like an investment in destruction, that's a hard thing to go through life having to hold on to. And I have been in a place where I have only measured my success based on how much better I'm doing than somebody else, like constantly comparing myself. You can't keep up with it. You're never satisfied. Being able to set your own goals and achieve things for yourself and be happy with it in the context of yourself and your life and the people who are side by side with you trying to, you know, have these successes. Katie in here with me, Tony and Frank on this show, and at home in my personal life, my husband and my kids. You know, those successes that we might have at home could be so incredibly small and meaningless to everybody else, but it might be the most important thing that happens to you that year. I say that as somebody who's trying to potty train a three-year-old.
And when it happens, whew, great victory.
Have you ever cheered for somebody who's pooped in the potty?
I haven't. I'm looking forward to that day.
Tony, have you ever been so happy? I mean, when that starts going in the potty, life gets
a lot easier.
Rose-colored glasses, folks. You're on the horizon. Things are starting to change. And you do songs and dances.
You've
that
hit
has
a new
to
level
do
in life.
Pee-pee in the potty. It's like a conga line. Everybody gets in on it. And all you want is for it to happen again. It's weird. Totally weird. Probably unrelatable to you, Katie. But it's a big deal in my house. And I know you'll be happy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And
totally.
For the children involved.
And for Jared. All around happiness for the fries.
314-241-9797. Quick break. A bunch of phone calls to get to. We'll have those as soon as we return.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Thursday. That means tomorrow's Friday.
Happy Thursday.
I feel like this might be the longest week of the year so far.
It's been long.
And oh my gosh, if the president could work out a deal with China tonight, so that we could talk about that tomorrow.
If anything could happen other than these tweets and the chants.
Yes. I'm going to get to some of these phone calls here. We've been talking about Scarlett Johansson saying that she should be able to play any role that she wants to. And Whoopi Goldberg pushing back and saying, hey, no, you can't play a role that is, like, I guess, demographically belonging to somebody else, that somebody else should have the chance to play that role. My question is, don't you just want the best person to play the role? Whatever it is, isn't acting inherently pretending to be something you're not? So I guess maybe there's a line there to cross on Whoopi's part. And I also real quick wanted to ask you, Tony, about the Rand Paul thing. So we find out Rand Paul and Mike Lee, from what I understand,
yep,
block the 9/11 first responder.
Yep.
Funny. And I said this is the most Rand Paul thing.
Sure is.
And I think it's awful. What's your opinion?
It's maddening. It's maddening.
He's a libertarian.
He's the libertarian. So is Mike Lee.
Do you? So,
I like Mike Lee a lot. Mike Lee was an outside shot at this one of Trump's Supreme Court nominees.
Yeah.
When not Gorsuch,
Kavanaugh.
The beer. I like beer.
I like beer.
Yeah, like when beer. Kavanaugh happened, and I was really hoping that Trump would go with Mike Lee. The thing is, I believe that exceptions can be made on anything. It's good to have. It's good to be consistent. It's good to have principles and rules that you stick to, and most politicians don't do that. They're terrible at that. They go in and they have these convictions, but then they, you know, change their minds, vote for things that they have, you know, said that they wouldn't vote for. Just about every Republican can be blamed for that when it comes to shrinking government and limiting spending, and then they never ever do. Rand Paul is consistent. However, it's okay
to a fault
to make an exception every now and then. And he didn't block the bill. He didn't block he didn't say we're not going to pay for these 9/11 first responders and their medical bills. What he said was, I'm not going to sign off on it until you tell me how we're going to pay for it. Show me if we're going to add spending, we need to cut spending. Mm-hmm. So tell me where we're going to take the money or where we're going to get the money, and then I'll happily sign it. Now, I understand that.
He's definitely inserted himself in the middle of this.
I just don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I think if you're ever going to make an exception, this is where you make the exception. But Rand Paul and Mike Lee are no exceptions kind of guys. They say, look, we need to stop spending so much money. It doesn't matter how much we're spending. It doesn't matter where it's going to. It could be going to save puppies. If we're gonna spend money, you need to cut it from somewhere else, or you need to show me where you're gonna get the money from, because we can't just keep adding spending to an already out of control spending situation that has us in such debt. So I get it. I get the consistency. This is one that I feel like you should just, if you're ever going to make an exception, here's where you.
Yeah, I think I think he missed it.
They can't stop this. It's just a delay.
He's just inserting himself once again.
Yeah,
in the middle of it. I want to get to some of these phone calls here before we turn it over to the Glover folks. But that was an important story from today, and we'll see how.
But that bill is still going to pass. That is still going to get funded. He didn't stop these first responders from getting their medical treatment.
All right, let's go to Daryl's phone call here. Daryl, thanks for holding. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Amy, long-time friend of the show.
Good, thank you. Appreciate that.
Sure thing. Hey, I think your co-host made a comment earlier about the outrage that would exist if, in fact, Ariel, the Little Mermaid, were black and then were made white.
Mm-hmm.
Just something I want to toss out for consideration is that for a long time within mass media and publications of fiction, you did not see characters that were people of color. So whenever you did have Pocahontas or such, it's like, yes, there's a person of color and they're in a mass publication or a mass media piece. Great. So that would be maybe one of 100 instances. So once you did have, hey, we're going to have a white actress portray this individual, it's like, wait, that was our one victory, and you're taking it away. So I think that's kind of some of the reason why there would be that outrage if you did take a historically black character in a fiction setting and then said, hey, we're going to make this one white.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, it's not someone that has historical reference per se. That was just one of the things that I want to comment regarding what the outrage would be.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl. I appreciate the phone call. And, you know, I think that the black versus white role switch is the extreme, because for instance, the woman in Orange is the New Black, she's transgender. I can't remember Laverne Cox, I think is her name. I'm going to tell you, you could see her and you would not know that she's a transgendered female.
Not at all.
And I think she's beautiful. So I watched that show. I would not. It's filthy. I had my appendix out. I was medicated and entertained
me alone.
But she's in that, and she's a good actress. So if she were going to play a role of a woman in a play or in a movie, and that's what the director wanted to do because it best told that director's story, it's their decision to do it. Should a transgendered individual be able to just only play transgendered roles? I don't think so. I don't think that's what they would want. I think it's just you need the best person for the job. And with what you're just saying too, like the you don't want to put people in a box because then you're not expanding the talent. You want to put yourself in a position where you can find the best talent outside of those boxes and say, this is the best person for the role.
Mm-hmm. I agree. David, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, it's amazing how people are so selective about diversity, because in one moment they want to work their direction, but then when it goes into, you know, just say like the Whoopi Goldberg thing, well, you know, you wouldn't want to see a white guy play the Black Panther, because it's just not would not be a good fit. It's kind of like 007 being a woman. It's not a good fit because we've all been adjusted to seeing what we need to be seeing. If people want good roles and to expect, you know, see good actors, that's fine. You know, I'm all about diversity. But when people are selective about it, you know, well, you can't play a black person just because he's not black or she's not black. Well, that's kind of unfair on both directions. You can't be selective. You either have it one way or another, or in my book, because just like Eric, the big thing about the little flap about Ariel, you know, just like you said, you've seen in the Disney books, she was white. Well, to change that, you know, I wish they, you know, somebody could come up with a nice black character to compliment Ariel. You know, it can go that direction and it wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings. But to just blatantly just fall short of saying, well, you know, Ariel needs to be black because that's the way it, you know, we need to be more diversified. But nobody can play the Black Panther. I think, see, again, you're just flip-flopping on your diversity.
Hey, David, thank you for the phone call. Two things I would say. I don't think that it matters the color of Ariel's skin for Ariel to be Ariel. I do think that it would not make sense if, now that I'm an expert on the Black Panther, thank you,
mm-hmm.
which is really literally one of my favorite
so good
Avengers movies, and that character, I really like the dynamic character of the Black Panther. But you can't make a white person be, you know, is Wakanda's in Africa, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you're in an African country of Wakanda, I guess it's a country, and it just doesn't work. So it would not make sense. It wouldn't make literary sense to have a white person play Black Panther. And I don't want them to make a movie called White Panther at all.
Please don't do that.
Don't do that. So I, you know, I just think if Disney wants this, here's where I am at this, folks. If Disney wants to make Ariel black, and I'll go watch the movie, and then I'll tell you afterwards if I like the movie. But I'm not, it's not a racial statement to me. Like, I want to say, I don't want to give that type of, I don't want to give that large of a chunk of my energy towards being in a racial war about whether Ariel should be black or white. If girl can sing, and I guess if girl can swim, you know,
more power to
let it out there. Let her have it. I don't know. I don't know why we would get so bent out of shape about it. And I would say the same thing if you're playing, you know, a transgender role. If somebody can play that role and they don't happen to be transgender to begin with, I don't really care. So I disagree with Whoopi Goldberg on that. I wrote this down somewhere. She said somewhere like 25 years ago, we didn't have that many transgender actors, or at mm-hmm. least that she says, like, that we knew of. How many transgender roles were out there 25 years ago? I mean, where we are as a community and as a culture and the embracing of alternative lifestyles that we've done overall as a community, whether people have, you know, a great open arm, I'm marching in the pride parade acceptance of it, or if you are somebody who is not a hateful person, maybe disagrees with somebody's lifestyle, which I always say, hey, if you're putting this in Sixth Commandment issue things, lusting after somebody in your head is a Sixth Commandment issue. So keep that in mind. Being in having an infidelity problem, that's a Sixth Commandment problem. I mean, if you're talking religion, sex outside of marriage, that's a Sixth Commandment problem. And we don't know all the people who are doing that, but I, for one, assume that most people don't hold that to be the case in their own personal lives. All of these things that are problems with everybody else in the world, make sure the finger pointing at you doesn't have the four fingers pointing back at yourself compared to the one that's pointing at everyone else. Crazy. I'm going to be in a better mood tomorrow. Dave Glover's going to make me laugh on the way home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what?
Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.